Well, I would like for you to join me today, particularly if you are interested in leveling up, as I am, leveling up our gratefulness practice in the coming year, which is my way of saying we're going to talk about gratefulness and my way of saying welcome to the Poetry, Passion, and Pleasure podcast with your host, Dale Byron. So this is the place where we use poetry in both traditional and non-traditional ways to help us live more interesting, satisfying lives. And so I want to talk again about this idea of leveling up our gratefulness practice. And I've got a couple of stories for us today. I want to talk a little bit about my friend and mentor for many years, Brother David Stendhal-Rast, who is in some ways the grandfather or father of the latest resurgence over the last number of years, decades, in the interest of gratefulness, and for good reason, because we're going to talk a little bit today how gratefulness can be such an amazing tool for living our lives more fully, an amazing tool for living our lives with more depth and happiness and, yeah, all of that. But first, we're going to dive right into the poem. And then we'll talk a little bit about some different things about gratefulness, because it can be an acquired taste, actually. And we'll talk about that in the poem. The poem is called Gratefulness, and it goes like this. Each day, the engine of my gratefulness, each day, the engine of my gratefulness must be coaxed and primed into action. Each day, the engine of my gratefulness must be coaxed and primed into action. Now, let's just, with those first two lines, can you relate to that? You know, because every morning when we get up, you know, so that may not be the very first thrust of our day, right? That I'm feeling grateful. You know, we might be a little worried about what's planned for the day. We might have some anxiety about some of the things we're not so sure about. We may have an ache or a pain or who knows what we have. But the idea that we have to regenerate an interest, an awareness in this practice of gratefulness is what those first two lines really indicate. Each day, the engine of my gratefulness must be coaxed and primed into action. Of course, the poem goes on, of course, like any old clunker, like any old clunker, it would just as soon stay put. For even after the labored start beats the inertia, even after the labored start beats the inertia and the plume of white smoke struggles upward, the same hills always appear. See, this is the thing about gratitude. It is amazingly powerful. And yet there are so many forces that are pulling at us in an average life. I mean, just in an average day, forces that are pulling against our ability to practice gratefulness. And the poem says, so even after the labored start, like even after we get going and that, you know, metaphoric plume of white smoke comes out of the car or the truck or whatever it is, the same hills always appear. And the poem goes on. It says, and the same hills always appear, soaring daily, tall and ominous as before. They didn't get any shorter. The same hills always appear, soaring daily, tall and ominous as before. There is the long, slow hill of aging. There is the long, slow hill of aging, so gradual and smooth at first. Well, of course, that is true. You know, as we get older and we are faced with some more physical difficulties or even when we get injured, if we're younger, you know, there is this sense of that aging is effortless until it's not. And our bodies, we can take them for granted which is the opposite of feeling grateful, is taking something for granted. By the way, Brother David, I mentioned him, and we'll talk a little bit more about him today. But one of the things that stuck with me over many years is the moment we take something for granted, says Brother David, reminds us from Brother David, the moment we take something for granted, we are exiled. We are exiled from the world, from ourselves, from others, because we sort of fall asleep with things that are miracles. So there's the long, slow hill of aging, says the poem, so gradual and smooth at first. And then that steep grade called the news. Oh, boy. Now we've really uncovered something here. And then that steep grade called the news. Yes, and always some mountain of a war. Always some mountain of a war. Looming out there, never too far in the distance. Even an old idea or feeling long abandoned, long abandoned. Even an old idea or feeling long abandoned might conspire to halt this fragile progress. This fragile progress, in other words, toward a grateful feeling, toward a practice of gratitude. It might conspire to halt this fragile progress, says the poem again. Valves sputtering, tires flattening, clutch slipping. We're back to that metaphor of the car. But the old potato, 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 sound of the engine. You ever heard that before? Potato, potato, potato. But the old potato, 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 sound of the engine and all its mysterious fuel, for which I am truly, truly grateful, somehow, somehow, keep stumbling along. Somehow, somehow, keep stumbling along. Well, one of the things I was thinking about, kind of a funny little metaphor, or actually, I guess, a cliche that I like to use, is I say around gratitude and gratefulness is to stay a cheap date. Stay a cheap date. And what I mean by that is to stay easily amazed, easily impressed, easily entertained, easily awed by the amazing things in this world. And that's what I was thinking about. I don't think I mentioned it yet, but this poem, Gratefulness, is one that I wrote a number of years ago. And actually, I wrote it during the period of time when I was on the board of the Gratefulness Organization, which gratefulness.org is a great, wonderful organization, by the way. And it's where I worked with and met Brother David Stindl-Rast many, many years ago, and was part of that organization for a long, long time. And of course, he still is connected in a huge way, because he was one of the founders of that. But if you think about this business of staying a cheap date, the note I made for myself is, just the wonder of a cool glass of water, a summer tomato, a hug, a curious question asked by a dear friend that helps reveal some quality in ourselves that we had either forgotten about or were beginning to take for granted. And they ask us that question. You know, I had a dear friend the other day ask me a question, and it was just so wonderful. That little friend curiosity helped me see myself in a different, more satisfying and fuller way. So a curious question can spark gratitude, to be, as we're saying, to stay a cheap date, to be impressed by that question. A simple walk in the forest is also the part of the note that I made for myself. Fog coming in over the hills, how glorious, but we have to stop and pay attention, have attention, be attention, in order to feel the gratitude for that happening. Any of these things, the sound of a guitar, the beautiful sound of a G chord, or a C chord. Just the sound of one note. Or, particularly, I was thinking about this week, hearing a new poet. Another dear friend sent me a poem I'd never heard before. And it was so delicious. And I was thought to myself, I wrote to her and I said, you know, you have given me such a gift. This poet, I've been waiting my entire life to hear these lines. And I meant it. I absolutely meant it. Because it was something that was just a nuance of a feeling that came through in that poem that I had never experienced before, but oh, so wanted to experience. A new poem can rock our world. Have you noticed? So I had mentioned that I talked about my silly metaphor of stay a cheap date. It reminds me, Brother David tells a story and talks, you know, in the sort of the form of advice, I suppose. He talks about having a small cup. Now, let me unpack that a little bit. A small cup would indicate, for example, if we have a huge cup, and have you noticed that our culture with our advertising and our marketing and never enough and you're never enough and you need this product to help you be happy. You need this product to be more complete because something about you is not right or a lot of things about you are not right. And this advertising is for a product that's going to make you whole, make you happy, make you feel satisfaction in your life. And of course, we know it's not true. We know it's not true. Yes, of course, we need things in our lives. We need good food. We need transportation. We need clothing. There's things that we need. And of course, that helps to make our life satisfying. But there is no thing that we can buy, exterior thing, that's going to have us feel happy and satisfied in our side, inside us, I should say. So Brother David's advice is that rather than go with the culture's idea of make your cup bigger and bigger and bigger, make your cup more modest so that when you fill it with whatever you fill it with, that it overflows much more easily. And then that feeling of being grateful for just that, the brief walk in the forest or all the things I talked about, a sip of coffee, a sip of delicious wine, just a bite full of wonderful food, a question from a friend, a hug from a loved one, a kiss. But we will not have our cup overflow if our cup is coaxed into being bigger and bigger and bigger, more and more and more. We need more and more and more to be happy. And we know in our more mindful, our more quiet moments, that is not true. More does not make us happy. Really doesn't. Brother David, speaking of him, he's such a sweetheart, such an amazing human being. So glad that I met him and that we've been friends for a lot of years. And what a mentor. He said, in daily life, we must see that it is not happiness that makes us grateful, but gratefulness that makes us happy. How about that? In daily life, we must see that it is not happiness that makes us grateful, but gratefulness that makes us happy. Brother David Stendhal Rast. I love that. He also said, when I'm on a Brother David roll here, as we close the post, this edition of today's post, he said in a recent holiday letter, a letter of the season, Holy Days letter, we can say it that way. He said, if we shut our hearts to the pain of the world, our celebrations become superficial. if we shut our hearts to the pain of the world, our celebrations become superficial. If we let that pain overwhelm us, overwhelm our hope, we are lost in the dark. Tears in which pain and joy flow together do justice to life in its fullness. In its fullness. So, each day, the engine of my gratefulness must be coaxed and primed into action. We need to remember ourselves daily. We are faced with war, with ecological catastrophe, climate being one symptom of a larger overshoot problem, challenge, predicament. So in order for us to be more present, and happy in our own lives, and more present and able to be to work in any, in whatever way calls to us to help with these challenges in the world, to help with these predicaments in the world, we first need to be centered. We first need to have a sense of the beauty of the world, I think, and to be grateful for even the small, wondrous things that are, that happen for us in our daily lives. Yeah, each day the engine of our gratefulness must be coaxed and primed into action. Thank you so much for your listening ear. And thanks to all of you who have been listening during this this year that we've just, it's coming to a close. Thank you so much. And, you know, we're going to have in the new year, we'll have new themes and new poems and all sorts of new ways to celebrate poetry as a joyful tool for both the amazing parts of our lives, the joyful, the wondrous parts of our lives, and also for the more difficult and losses and the grieving parts of our lives. And how, as Brother David says, those are always interlinked. Always interlinked. So thank you again for your listening ear. Take good care of yourself until next time and next year. And next poems, please take care of yourself. And as I always say, if you can, take care of someone else. Thank you so much.